This week, we begin a new Sefer, Sefer Shemais, where we start off in Mitzrayim, and we're going to discuss the terrible difficulties that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim, and their eventual geula, redemption from the slavery and hard work in Mitzrayim. The parsha starts off with Vayakam Melech Hadash Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef, that a new king arose that didn't know Yosef. We're coming off of Sefer Bereishis, where we have the story of Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim and saving Mitzrayim and greatly enriching Mitzrayim through his understanding of the dream of Pari and his suggestion to Pari, not just the suggestion, but the successful implementation of the plan of putting aside the grain so that they had the food to supply not just Eretz Mitzrayim, but the whole world with the food during the time of famine. And of course, the people of Egypt had tremendous hakar satayv to Yosef, and specifically the king, Pare, whose power went wildly above anyone's expectations because of becoming the world power. And this was all due to Yosef. And here we start with the road down. Vayakam Melech Hadash, a new king got up, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. And of course, there are two opinions in Chazal about this. What does it mean that a new king got up that didn't know Yosef? One says he was actually a new king. He was a brand new king. And so he probably heard about Yosef, but he didn't actually know Yosef. And the other one says, no, he was the same Pare, but his laws were new. Either way, Lo Yada Es Yosef doesn't mean that he didn't know him. It means to know someone means to be mechavev him, to love him. When the pasuk speaks about Hashem's relationship with Avraham, he says that I know Avraham because I know him, that he'll command his sons after him. It's talking about when Hashem is deciding whether he should tell Avraham about what he is planning to do with Sodom. And he says, how can I not tell Avraham? Ki yadativ, because I know him. And there Rashi says, to know him means to love him. The reason I would tell Avraham is because, not because I know him, but because I love him. And so when it says, Melech Hadash Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef, what it's talking about is there's a new king and he has no warm feelings towards Yosef. Until now, Pari had a very close connection with Yosef and his family. He acknowledged that it was because of his ideas, of Yosef's ideas, that Pari personally became very wealthy and that the land survived the famine, and therefore he always treated him well, giving him and his family an exclusive place, Goshen, to live in. And now he doesn't know, respect, or value Yosef anymore, so he's called a new king. There's actually a third explanation in the Medrash. And it says that he was the old Pare, he was the same old Pare, but his people wanted him to stop treating the Jews so well. The old-fashioned anti-Semitism, which we are feeling so strongly now, rearing its head. And why do you have to treat the Jews so well, say the rabble to the leader of the country? Why are you giving them so many benefits? Why are you taking care of them? So they pressured him to start making decrees against the Jews and to stop loving them and to treating them well, and he refused. And so they staged a coup, and he was deposed for 3 months. After 3 months, he bought into the anti-Semitic narrative, and he got his throne back. The Baalei Tosfos say something interesting. It says that Pare actually did have a minimal amount of hakara satayv to the children of Yosef, and although no one else was ever allowed to leave Mitzrayim, he did allow the descendants of Yosef to go. The proof that the Baalei Tosfos brings is that in all the stories about the capture of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mention Shechem at all, meaning Shechem wasn't captured, meaning that perhaps it was captured beforehand by the children of Yosef who had left long before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Also, we have a story of the Bnei Ephraim who were fighting the Anshei Gas in Plishtim, as it's spoken about in Divrei Hayamim, also prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is a little known part of the story, and we have very few details on it. However, letting the children of Yosef leave is still not enough hakara satayv. Without the Jews, there wouldn't be any Mitzrayim. How could he go and enslave him and enslave the Yidden? The truth is, even without the hakara satayv piece, we're still astounded by what he did. And we have to get out of our childhood memories of the stories that we learned when we were in preschool about Yetzias Mitzrayim and to start looking at it as adults do. We're talking about Auschwitz, we're talking about Mauthausen. How could he murder the Jewish children? Now people know what that means, but how could he murder Jewish children? How could he throw them into the river? How can he bathe in their blood? Who was this monster? How could he do it? But when we're talking about the monstrous deeds of Paré, we emphasize the fact that it happened. How did he get to such a place? Because Lo Yada'as Yosef. Because when a person doesn't have Hakaras HaTov, it will inevitably lead to a Lo Yada'as Hashem. A person who doesn't have Hakaras HaTov to a person will not have Hakaras HaTov to God, to Hashem. And therefore, it can lead him to do horrific things like Paré did. Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the good, is a fundamental part of having Emunah. Because when we recognize what people do for us, it helps us recognize what Hashem does for us, and that there's a creator, and that we have certain obligations for him, to him. And this is a huge yesod that we're going to see over and over again as we build our nation in Mitzrayim. Moshe couldn't hit the river and the earth because they had helped him out in the past, not because of their hurt feelings, because rivers don't have hurt feelings, and dirt doesn't have a hurt feeling, but because you, Moshe, you can't be the kind of person who is a kafui toiv. And then we see it with his relationship in Yisrael and how he had to ask Yisrael permission to leave because Yisrael was good to him. And even the fact that we are told that we can't hate a Mitzri, even though they were so horrible to us, because at the end of the day, they hosted us and we have to have Hakaras HaTov to them. We have to notice the details of what people do to us, give to us, and how they help us, and be grateful for everything. There's a story told of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who once had a tea in a cafe. And he was very surprised by how much he cost. He asked the owner, why does it cost so much? After all, tea is very cheap. And so is the teaspoon of sugar that I'm having with my tea. So why is it so expensive? What am I paying for? And the owner said, you aren't paying for the tea. You're also paying for the chairs and the table and the lights over there and the waiter and the music and the spoons and the person who's going to wash the dishes and the spoons. There's so much more than the tea that you are paying for. If you just want to have a cup of tea and you don't want to pay for it, drink it at home. But when you're paying for a cup of tea in a cafe, you're not just paying for the tea, you're paying for everything that gets us to the tea. This led Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to respond and say, and now I understand why when I drink a cup of tea and I finish drinking my tea and I'm about to start drinking my tea, I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I have to say, Shahakol Nihya Bedvarei. Everything in this world was created by his speech. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something and everything was created. And I'm not thanking Hashem for the cup of tea I'm about to drink. I'm thanking him for the entire world. But it's just a small cup of tea. But I'm also thanking him for the fact that I woke up and that I have water and the tea and the cup and the ability to sit and to drink it and that I'm healthy and that I'm a free person. And for everything, I have to be grateful. I'm not just paying for the cup of tea. I'm paying for everything that allows me to drink this cup of tea in this cafe. And I'm not just thanking Hashem for a cup of tea. I'm saying Shachol, everything I'm thanking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for before I drink this tea. When a person has Hakaras HaTov like this, then he's living in a much better world, in a much happier world. It's not that only that Hashem needs our thanks. He doesn't need us to say thank you to him. We need to say thank you to him. We need to appreciate, because when we do, then we notice and then we appreciate. There is this thing that some of my high school girls do, which is that they keep what's called an appreciation journal, where at the end of every day they write down two or three things that they have Hakaras HaTov for, that they appreciate, that were good in their day, that were good in whatever happened in the day. And besides the benefit that they get from writing it down, and then they could flip back and they could look at it and they could say, wow, so many good things have happened to me today, this week, this month, it also turns them into appreciative people. And then they become the kind of person who is thinking about, what am I going to write in my appreciation journal, my Hakaras HaTov journal? I have to find something to be appreciative for. And then they spend the whole day looking for things to appreciate. And then they become appreciative people. And of course, they become much happier people because they look around at a world where so many good things are happening and they can hold on and cherish that. A person who says, who is Yosef, I don't know Yosef, is a person who is certainly inevitably going to turn around and say, who is Hashem? I do not know him.